It is Wednesday morning, and we invite in, as we do every week, Marty Hawk. She is the county councilwoman, the Republican. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Another beautiful day.
It is, even in Ellettsville and everywhere else. And it's
sunshiny in Ellettsville there, Marty.
It's amazing how we share our good weather.
It is. It is. Until you guys put that tarp over Ellettsville, you know, we are going to share that sunshine. But there's plenty of sunshine in the Democratic Party this morning as they ran roughshod in the municipal elections here in Bloomington. We know you're on the county side of things, Marty, but you still have two eyes and two ears. And no surprise, really, that this continues to go on because, as you accurately mentioned, there isn't a rallying cry, there isn't a rallier on the other side of the ticket that is bringing people out. We saw the voting numbers, only 8,400 people came out to the polls. Just give us your thoughts on what you saw, what you heard on an election day Tuesday yesterday.
Well, I certainly, over in my neck of the county, there were some pretty contested races with the Democrats really challenging and working hard to garner the votes and to be able to take some seats on the Ellettsville Town Council. And the Republicans held on to their seats. And so it depends on what part of the county that you live in as to whether or not which party you think might be victorious at the end of the day. And, of course, in Bloomington, it has been all Democrat for so long that people really, I fear, just think, well, it's always going to be that way, and we really don't even need to get out to vote. We'll just take the day off and enjoy the good weather, and we're not going to worry too much about it because they believe their vote will not make a difference. And as long as that's what they believe, they won't make a difference. I think that it's very clear that in the area where we've held Republican seats in the past, it's still very possible to pull that off and just study the numbers and look at where it is possible and run the very best candidate and put some money behind where your candidate is, and then we'll see a little more balance. But until that happens, until we believe that we can make a difference, and until somebody wants to see a difference, it will be just as it is. So election's over, and I wish everyone the very best in their years of service there on the council.
And Marty, Margaret had an interesting point looking at the Ellettsville numbers, seeing how the town ward races have tightened up. Do you see the Democrat influence seeping into that part of the county?
Well, certainly they had energy behind what they were working on. And when I started looking at the numbers earlier on, when the numbers first started coming out, I thought, well, we may see an upset over here. And it turned out that wasn't the case, but they came in pretty close. So I think for those people who believe that Ellettsville will always go Republican, they had better wake up and say that they cannot count on that, and they will have to make sure that they get out and work hard for that vote, as they should, just as the people in Bloomington should not always assume that they will get the vote without working for it. But, you know, it's got to take the citizens to really wake up and say, do I want to see a difference, or am I all right just the way it is? And there's such a small turnout that it makes it appear that most folks are just not interested at all in these races.
Well, I think that's, but in Ellettsville, it shows you it's the exact opposite. The numbers, town council, ward number two, Republican incumbent Scott Thomas, 164, Democratic challenger Jackie Yenna, 148, 16 votes. Your vote matters. Town council.
Very, very important to know. And for the R's who sat home and thought it wouldn't make a difference that we all always took those seats, I hope they'll look at those numbers and say, if I want to be able to keep this in a more fiscally conservative area, if I want to have that vote count, I have got to go to the polls. And because certainly the Democrat challengers, Ed Bittner and Jackie, you know, both made a very respectable showing. So
Let me give those numbers out for people just joining us. Town Council Ward number 3 in Ellettsville, Scott Oldham, the Republican incumbent, 163 votes. Democrat Ed Bittner, 152. So 16 votes separate the Ward 2 race. 11 votes separate the Ward 3 race. Republican incumbents win on both counts there.
Right. And then Republican Brian Mobley took that seat there.
Ward 1.
I am so glad that I just pushed a button and now I have nothing on
there you go.
Computer.
Welcome to my world.
But at any rate, the person who was in that seat decided not to run, Mr. Drake, and so then Brian Mobley, who has served in that spot before, ran and took it, and he did not have an opponent.
So correct.
There goes for Ellettsville. But, you know, if folks are really interested in what might happen having to do with elections, so many people, because all they've been hearing on TV, et cetera, is all about the presidential election, they're thinking, what's going on? Am I supposed to be voting? So many people out in the county.
Well, let's just talk about those numbers.
They don't even vote.
I had people ask if this was for the presidential, something with doing with the presidential election. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you not engaged at all?
You're not listening to this program.
But you know what? You know what? We must remember, just because we're engaged does not mean that everybody out there is. Guess what? There's a whole lot of people didn't know why you had a game last night.
Sure, absolutely, right. That's why we cover everything on this program, Marty. That's what we are. We are a one-stop shop. We are the convenience store of
news.
Well, everything. Yes. It all counts. Now, back, Marty Hawk is our guest. County Councilwoman checks in every Wednesday morning. That's no surprise. Marty Fetty's here every Wednesday morning. That's no surprise. Here's what happened yesterday. City races were decided, according to the Herald Times. Just 12% of the eligible voters, 8,452 who showed up, either early voting, mail, email, travel, whatever it was, that's it, 8,400. But that number is more than voted in the primary, and it surpasses the totals from the 2011 municipal election. Now, what they don't tell you is how many people voted in the 2011 municipal election, because I don't have those numbers in front of me. If it was 8,452 this time, and it was 8,328 last time, yes, that is more. But do you remember the numbers? How much more?
I don't remember specifically the numbers,
but I know
down. But I do know the race that the Chris Sturbaum District 1 race, I know, only had a total of like 800 and some votes. It was right around 800 votes. And so there was considerably less. This time there was almost just over 1,000. So
almost 1,100.
Yeah. So the thing about it is that there's definitely a difference in that. But also the top of the ticket in that race was not content. I mean, Mark Cruzan ran and basically, you know, and had won. So,
but you know what, Margaret, that's of interest to you. And, of course, I like looking at those numbers. But it clearly is not in a very big interest to
not
just our listeners, but throughout the community. So because if they were that interested,
the numbers would show differently, right?
Would be greater.
12% is the key number.
I'm sorry?
12% is the key number. That's the percent of eligible voters.
I never 12%. Was suggesting no. that anybody was interested in the numbers like I am. That's not what I mean.
I think the story this morning has got to be, in my opinion, has got to be why do we have so many citizens who are not engaged, and what's going to happen?
Tim Mayer suggested yesterday that Bloomington has around 80,000 people. 40,000 of those are students. So you have 40,000. You would cut it in half with the student population.
Which you should.
But they are eligible. That's where that number comes in, and then that's where you get the 8,400. Is 12%. So whatever that you can do the math backwards to figure out who that is. So you cut that number in half. Now you're down to 40. So if you take the students out of it,
you cannot say that everybody is eligible to vote. If you're going, I'm trying to follow along with you, but
I don't think he actually got there, Marty. But out of the 40,000 people, you're correct. Not all of them would be eligible to vote because there's going to be children. There's going to be people who just choose not to.
Sure, and I'm making a gross generalization, is the point.
So probably, you know, we've got 20,000 people maybe who would be engaged in voting at all.
That's kind of where I was heading with that, to see what the real number is as opposed to just the statistical number.
But I think the key
to all this is, and again, you have to give people something to vote for. Just throwing a name or a number or a letter next to your name, that's not, in this town, it doesn't work.
Part of the problem has always been is if you can't get an entire ticket, I don't care if we're talking about the R's, the D's, or the L's, if you don't have an entire ticket and you don't have an engaged party that is behind that those people and really making the effort, you get people to you know, do the door-to-door, you get people to do the, you know, the calling, have the various events and so forth, it's really hard to engage the public. The Democrats
well, we
did
saw
that
what
time.
Happened in Indianapolis with the races when there was a race that one party decided they really wanted to get behind. They put the money behind it because no one wants to think it's all about the money. But let me tell you, if you want to get your message out, it takes money. It costs a lot of money to do radio ads, to do newspaper ads, to do mailers, etc. And until we get energy behind the ticket for a full ticket,
right,
of electable folks who can get the energy behind it, it makes it very difficult. I feel really bad for people who get their name on the ballot and then they look around for the help monetarily to get their message out, and it is not there.
Why isn't it there?
So the money's
not there, or the help isn't there, or because...
I think there's a lot of people out there who just think somehow you go and you run for office and it doesn't take any money. And I will tell you what, I think one of the reasons why Dave Naccarato was as successful as he was this time is that he did have people put some money behind his campaign.
And it does take
money. It makes
money.
a huge difference.
And because you're of course, you know, you could be Donald Trump and get lots of free airtime,
sure.
I suppose, but we're not Donald Trump, or we're not, you know, any of the people who have the big money in our own pockets. So
you know what it tells me, Marty? There's not a message to get on board with, or people just don't seem to think that the issues that affect or labeled as Republican matter or are a big deal, because there is no organization, there is no one lined up to get into these spots. And I'm not knocking Nelson Schaefer here. He was the only R in this R? Yeah.
No.
I also mention that we did have
Jennifer Mickle.
We now have a new party chair.
Good.
I think that
shake it up.
Gives us the opportunity, perhaps, to have an energetic group and to get organized behind. When Chairman Hogan decided to step down, he said it was time for younger people to lead the party. And so let us see how that works. And, you know, I, for one, would be really honored if anybody running for office might pick up the phone and call me and say, could we meet for coffee and see what your strategy might be? But no.
Well, that's got to be part of it.
That doesn't happen. I guess they think that,
about Elsville?
Because I do talk about Elsville.
No, you know what they want? They don't want to be associated with you because you're the naysayer. They want to do it on their own to bring this fresh breath of something else. But you know what? Show me who's breathing. Marty Hawk's breathing.
I actually don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's true at all.
You don't think it's true from your angle. I'm looking at it as a macro angle.
Well,
Show me the other people. Marty just said no one calls her and talks to her. That's not very smart.
Well, I think give William a chance here. But we used to have, nobody was there how it used to be, but used to be that the folks who've been around for a while would meet with the new people. People would ask us what our theory was or what how they might do a better job of getting the message out there, or even what ideas for the message would be. And I welcome that, and I think that perhaps we will have that for the county elections. And remember, we have to believe that we can make a difference. Now, do we have time? I sure had something I wanted
Go.
To share with you
yes.
today, not having to do with elections.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. County Councilwoman checks in every Wednesday morning. It's 8:24 at WGCL. Go ahead, Marty.
Okay. Two really important things. One, I wanted to say I had some good news last time, and we were so busy.
I'm glad you remembered it.
We're talking about good news. I want to move on with the good news. Let's start with the bad part of it first, and then let's
wait. The bad part of the good news?
The bad part is that we have elected here in Monroe County an auditor's office and a treasurer's office who could not figure out how to disperse $1,200,000. We're sitting on $1,200,000 taxpayer dollars that should be distributed out to the people who get excise tax, to different taxing units, so it can be used. And it will be, rather than just sitting there, and it goes all the way back to 2012. Now, that's the bad news, because that's ridiculous.
But it's good news because it's there, right?
But the good news is there's $1,200,000. Now, in conversation, I heard somebody say the other day that they thought the county's portion could be as much as $400,000.
Now, who doesn't
now,
get this money?
I don't
money?
Know that, because that was just kind of conversation. But $1,200,000, and that's sitting there to be distributed for to every
all the taxing
unit
units.
Who gets
okay.
excise tax. Now, and they're saying, well, we're just going to have to use percentages or something, da-da-da, because they're not able to figure out how to go back and do it exactly. So whatever they're going to do to get this distributed, it is money that could be used to provide services. And that's why we pay taxes. This is the excise tax that we pay. And years ago, it got mixed up with the wheel tax, and all of it was very confused. So it's important that we elect people who understand what the job is, that they'll study the job, and they will figure out a way to make sure that they provide all the services that they run for office to say they will do. So that was the good and the bad news on that. And then I also wanted to briefly say, and this is a conversation for another day because it's quite a lengthy one, is locally there's going to be another big push to put in an income tax to cover transportation issues. And what I would like to suggest, because they're talking about going to the state and changing the state laws so that they can charge
who
everybody in the county, there's a big push now.
Who's pushing
and,
it?
And Mark Stoops is taking a bill forward to the state, and the local Chamber of Commerce is very supportive of this, to charge everybody throughout the county an income tax to provide extra dollars for mass transit. Now, what I would like to suggest, and I'm not against mass transit, for heaven's sakes, but
we
what
don't
I
have
would
any?
Be for, what I would be for is if we're going to the state to say, let's change some kind of rule so that we can do this, go to the state and say, let us take it out of that massive, large death area and take all of that money they're capturing there and use part of that.
Capturing it where, Marty? You cut out.
Marty,
there.
You cut out.
Oh, there's somebody calling me. And when I find out who it is,
you're in big trouble. Don't cross
well,
Marty Hawk on Wednesday.
It cannot be my personal family. They all know not to call me on Wednesday.
Take it out of what? Take it out of where? That's the part we did.
Take it out of that super TIF, downtown.
Super TIF.
They're going to be capturing all of those dollars for that downtown TIF. And they're talking about all these wonderful new things they're going to do. Well, that's their choice. But if they really want, if Bloomington really wants more money for Bloomington Transit to be able to get people out to the hospital and so forth, take it out of there. Don't come over and ask for money from people from Unionville and Smithville and Harrisburg and
Why aren't they taking it out of why aren't they taking it out of all the parking meter money, for the love of God?
Well, you know,
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It may be, but they've already budgeted that, and we already know that. They've already budgeted that and more than what that dollar brings in, what they're going to spend it
on. That's why you need a tax, right? You run out of money, you got to get it somewhere.
Well, at some point in time, when they realize, when people realize how much it's going to change their taxes, because all of the growth is going to be sucked up with this super TIF, then at least don't come and ask us for an additional income tax.
Well, Marty, if they work it right, what they can do is they can make the taxes inside the city limits so incredibly high that the only people can afford to live here are rich people, and then they'll have gotten rid of all of the problem children.
Well, I do not believe that's the theory at this point. Certainly doesn't sound like what the new mayor wants, and I hope they don't move forward with affordable housing so to speak, without at least discussing it with people who are really knowledgeable about how to provide housing, because we've seen massive failures in the past where cities try to be, you know, big father to everybody and put together low-income housing, and it just creates a really horrible situation. So let's work together on that.
All right, Marty, good job as always. We'll have, as you mentioned, a longer discussion on that as the time rolls on, but we are out of it this morning. We appreciate your thoughts and your opinions, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checks in every Wednesday morning just after 8:05, and it's always interesting to hear her views and longer. Sometimes we're so... This happened yesterday, and we got to talk about this.
Laser-focused.
It's not. Well, it is, yeah. Because a lot of the issues she talks about on this program need laser focus,
yeah.
And it's nice to hear sometimes the macro side of things as well. That's